everybody. Welcome to the Triathlon Age Group Journey Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Coudet, along with Matt Summer and Jillian Carlson. And this week, we have Brock Walaska. Brock is active duty in the Navy. He is an Ironman certified coach. He's lived all over the world, has done some really unique endurance challenges beyond triathlon that we're excited to talk to him about. He's a father, husband, two awesome kids, and is definitely living the triathlon family dream with them all. So we're really looking forward to talking to Brock about his journey. Shout out to everybody this week for helping us hit a big milestone with 1,000 downloads in 30 days. That was really exciting for us. Some of you answered an Instagram plea to try to make it happen the other day. We're really blown away by all the love and support that everybody's had for our little podcast journey here. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So Matt and Jillian, tell us, where are you guys this week?
I'm actually out in Seattle spending a very long weekend with Jillian. Very well overdue. Unfortunately, I hadn't been able to spend a lot of quality time with her since New Year's. So we've definitely been living it up this weekend, doing what we do. I spent 20 long miles on the treadmill this morning, developing a little bit of grit while she spent an hour and 45 minutes on the bike doing her workouts. Yeah, it's been an interesting morning. We just went and ate a ton of food. It was great. I think I had a huge omelet, two huge pancakes, a biscuit, hash browns, French fries.
JoJo's.
And I'm hungry again. So wow. You know, typical. Yeah.
You've earned it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I earned it. I don't like using food as a reward, but I was definitely hungry when I got
done.
I needed to refuel. So it was good. I know Brock, I'm excited. He and I are actually going to be running Boston Marathon together this year. So that's an exciting thing. We've known each other for a while. We'll get into that a little bit more. I don't know about you, Brock, but I'm at the point where I know I'm counting down. I only got two long runs left. There's more behind me than there is in front of me, if you know what I mean. So that's the exciting part of marathon training for those. Anyway. How's everybody's training going this week?
Yeah, training is going well. I did the Gate River Run. It's 15K. I think it's the largest 15K in America. It also serves as a USATF 15K championships. Use that as a training run to run at marathon pace for the about 9.4 miles. That went pretty well. And like you, Matt, yes, two, maybe three long runs left and then off to Boston.
Well, I know Brock's pretty humble about this, but he just conquered and crushed a 50K, what was that, two, 3 weekends ago?
I think it was 3 weeks ago. It's called the Angry Tortoise 50K here in Jacksonville.
He walked away with first place Masters overall, so not a bad race for that guy. But anyway.
Nice.
Well done.
Jay, Jillian, how about you guys?
I had an interesting week at work that I'd lived the quote from last week, you know, doing the right thing, sometimes the hardest thing. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that, but it was definitely a moment that I wasn't sure why I was doing the hard thing, but it was definitely the right thing. But another big takeaway that I know I've been pretty vocal about, you know, perceived exertion, you know, in training. And I had a moment on Tuesday's ride where perceived exertion was through the roof. It didn't feel good. I was hurting on a ride that, you know, was challenging, but not so challenging that I should have been feeling the way I was. But I took a moment and just kind of looked at my heart rate. I looked at my power. Everything was on target. So I started realizing, all right, this is all in my head, and just made that moment and said, you know, you got to change your headspace. And, you know, what there's a lot of funny phrases out there, but just started the positive talk. And I think that was a breakthrough moment just in terms of remembering sometimes that metrics are good. You can use metrics to do that check-in. And if the check-in is saying, hey, you should be okay, sometimes then you just got to overcome it from a mental battle. So finishing that workout, I felt really good. It was a good day and propelled me for the rest of the week, just feeling good that I endured it. So think about that next time.
You made another big change today, too. I know we were texting earlier. And what's the gear change you made, Jay? I mean, this is big, though.
Well, you know, after Eagle Man last year and the two flats, I was immediately already thinking, okay, I'm going to go to tubeless. And so it's only taken me, you know, 8 months to finally get everything together and actually just get the nerve to go ahead and change my wheel set out, you know, do a million YouTube videos to learn how to do it, and then finally say, okay, I'm going to do it. I did it on another set of gravel tires for my gravel bike first. In case I screwed those up, I wouldn't feel so bad about my race wheels. But yeah, I'm all set. And amazingly, my race wheels turned out a heck of a lot better than those gravel tires, which I still can't get to seal.
See, the funny thing there is that definitely tells a personality, Jay. I mean, as a fitness director and as an engineer, Jay did it himself. I was the one that went out and paid somebody to do it. And it's just a different mentality there. And again, I know I'm going to put a big plug in. Jillian taught me this. She discovered it. For anybody out there that is considering tubeless or that is running tubeless, it's the very little known secret, but REI has an amazing deal for a tubeless refresh. Even that, to do a complete refresh on your tubeless. If you're a member and you go in, I just took in 2 weeks ago because I was due. I took in my, I had a Zip 454 and my Super 9 disc, took them both in to do a complete refresh on both of those was $16. And then I took in my 303 training wheels, it was $7. So if you use REI, I mean, they charge you, basically the labor is free. They only charge you for the sealant. So definitely support your REI, go in there, and you don't have to, you know, support your local bike shop. But when it comes to these types of things, the local bike shop charges $45, $50 a piece. I mean, in and out at REI, and they do a great job. So
no mess.
None. But Jillian, how's your training?
This week was up and down. The pool that I normally swim at, the 24-hour here, the maintenance guy's been MIA on vacation and then finally came back and realized they're missing a part that makes the heat come on. You think it's indoor, you think it'd be fine, but no, I still have to like go in a wetsuit and I still flip and freeze. And so, yeah, it's pretty bad. I'd rather be swimming Coeur d'Alene or St. George when it was 38 out. I'm not kidding. Like that water felt warmer. I like shivering uncontrollably by the end of it. And I thought, okay, you know, grip builder. But when you're at the pool trying to build your stroke and your form, that's not really the time to like go out and try to be building grit. So I did make the decision that I'm not going back to that pool in a wetsuit until it's in. But I mostly, so I do have a local pool. It's only like $6.50 to swim there, which is great. But at 24 hour, I'm a lifetime member. So I literally pay $20 a year for my membership there. So it's, you know, when I add up the occasional $6.50, or I even paid $20 to go to the Y because I was like, okay, my all in cost for the year is now $40 to swim. So, I think I'm coming out okay. But yeah, it's like 82 degrees at the local pool. And I'm just like in heaven there, but they're closed on Fridays. And I was like, no, I don't want to go back to 24 hour. But I was like, all right, you can do this. You're traveling. Just take your wetsuit. And I was freaking miserable.
Sounds like you need booties and the thermal hat and everything.
I did. Matt told me to bring the booties. I brought the booties and I was like, no, I'll be fine. But I mean, my hands were numb. Yeah, feet were numb. The feet, anyhow, it was just like, it's so cold. But yeah, it's all good. Anyhow, got to bike today, nice and hot and sweaty in the house and loved every second of it. So no new races. I was supposed to run a half marathon this weekend and I ended up, it's the first time I've actually scratched a race. So kind of tweaked my calf recently and just not in a position where it's a race. I do technically have a little bit of PTSD from this race last year because it was shortly after it that on the downhill part of the run, hit my quads kind of hard. And then eventually my hamstrings went. It was like a big catapult of injury last year that came out of it right before Triple T and everything else. And so it's all right. I was happy. I was happy to scratch. It was cold outside. I didn't feel like freezing again. Matt's here. As much as he probably would have rather ran outside than on a tread for 2.5 hours. It ended up working out and yeah, it all worked out. So
yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what do you say we guys get started? Sound good?
Yeah.
Awesome. So Jay, I think you were reading my mind earlier because I think you already were echoing this before we even got started, but here we go. So the strongest principle of growth lies in human choice. Plain and simple. You got to choose. life is made up of choices. And at the end of the day, our choices define us. They define our destiny. They define the path we're going. And I think at the end of the day, it all comes back to it's a choice. Jay, I mean, you already talking about that bike ride on Tuesday, you're looking at everything and you told yourself, you said, hey, you're fine, go with it. So you chose that. We all have circumstances, but our choices put us in those circumstances. Okay. And I'm a firm believer in that. I mean, we all start with same opportunities and it's whether we choose to take advantage of them or we don't. This isn't just about racing. So when I do these quotes, guys, it's not just about triathlon. This is about life in general. Yeah, we can always translate it to sport and talk about it from a sport perspective. Sport's just one small segment of what life is. You know, it might be a bigger segment for some of us than others, but at the end of the day, you know, it comes back to everything we do full circle in life. So what do you guys think of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, you know, I don't think your choices always put you in your circumstances, right? But you have the ability to choose how you react to the circumstances that you are in. So I do think having you know, growth mindset is something that's really big for me in my personal and professional and triathlon life. And so it's all about having that growth mindset so that you can make that choice to grow no matter what circumstances or situations are put in front of you.
Right.
What do you think, Brock?
Yeah, that's a great quote. I mean, we all have 24 hours in a day and, you know, we have countless choices that we make that day. But first one is, you know, when the alarm goes off, are you going to hit the snooze button? Or are you going to get up and go out in the cold weather and then drive to the pool and, you know, get that early morning swim in or whatever it might be. And it's all those choices that accumulate up over time, you know, that get you to consistency and get you where you need to be in terms of training goes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just life in general. Of course, that quote, I agree, goes well beyond just the training endurance side of it. And yeah, just to echo what Jillian said, is you can choose how you react to outside events and, you know, it affects your attitude, your outlook on life, and that goes a long way on your future.
That's, it's okay sometimes if I hit that snooze, as long as I do get up and get that swim, right? I might get tempted to hit that snooze once or twice occasionally. Totally.
And that's okay too. It's your choice.
Yeah. I think I would rather make human equal to you or yourself. If you're doing things to grow for other people, you're not going to get the full growth out of that, the full potential out of that. I think a lot of times maybe people are doing things for the approval of others or to look cool or to look tough or be tough in the eyes of others. But ultimately, it's your choices that are making you grow. And I think that's what I would really focus on is if you're thinking of others in those choices, start turning inward and see how much more growth you're going to get out of it.
Absolutely. If I asked you to make a list of things you love, where would you fall on that list?
Yeah.
Where would you rank yourself on that list of things you love? Because if you don't love yourself and you don't fill your cup up, you won't be able to pour into others. You got to worry about you so you can take care of those around you. You can go to the extreme on anything, but.
Yeah, no doubt. So, no doubt.
Getting too philosophical these days on these quotes. Yeah, I need a belt next time. I promise. Next week will be a humor. Fun and games.
I want to hear from Brock.
We need to get back to haikus.
I know, right? So speaking of Brock, I can't tell you how excited I am to have him on this show tonight. Brock and I have been both sponsored athletes by Hammer Nutrition for quite some years now. That's where we got to know each other. In this small virtual world of social media, that's where Brock and I befriended each other. I just remember during COVID, when everything shut down, Hammer really was like, you know, there were talks about possibly getting rid of the sponsored athlete program, this and that. And they were just asking us as athletes to really be diligent about posting stuff on social media just because there weren't races. And here I see this guy taking these selfies and all these other great videos and pictures on the balcony of this high rise, just riding his bike for hours at a time. He was active duty military, but he was stationed in Italy. It was Brock. And I'm like, okay, well, what's this guy doing? I'm talking like 100-mile bike rides on Zwift. It just fascinated me. Then I started seeing like all these big trail runs and 50Ks and adventure runs. And he just really captivated me. ultimately, we ended up actually racing. His first Ironman was Des Moines this past year. Got up to meet with him, got to meet the wife, the kids, everything. We just hit it off. And it was the first time we'd ever met face to face. So that was really cool to be part of that. But what's even neater as part of his journey is at that point, I think all of our listeners know that I coach for Tri-Dot Triathlon Training. I got to introduce Brock to Tri-Dot. And it really just evolved from there. And I'm so proud to say now that he actually has joined Tri-Dot as a coach as well. Tri-Dot has got a mentor program where coaches work under a master coach and they mentor under them. So Brock is actually one of my mentees and we work closely week to week just to help guide and build up better coaches for the future. It's kind of gone full circle. We've gotten to really be part of each other's lives a little bit more and just really excited to have him on board. So Brock, happy to have you. I'm excited to hear more about your journey. I know a lot about it, but I think there's a lot of exciting things that our listeners would love to hear about you. So welcome.
Well, thank you again for the invitation, Matt. I really appreciate it. And it's been quite the journey. Yes, from just meeting you socially through Facebook halfway around the world and finally being able to race together. If there's one thing I could do differently, I wish I was introduced to Tri-Dot earlier before the Ironman. I think my results would have been a little bit better, but I now have the voice of experience. So
that heat that day was brutal. I think that would have derailed anybody, regardless of training, you know?
That was a tough day. I still have visions of people laying on the side with IVs in their arms and just whatever you can do to keep moving forward. Yep.
So, well, Brock, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your journey? I mean, I know, you know, you didn't start out as a triathlete, but tell us a little bit about how your journey evolved and how it's gotten to where you are now.
Yeah, so growing up, my parents just encouraged me to be well-rounded. Didn't matter if that was playing t-ball or basketball, taekwondo, but I eventually settled on soccer, played on a couple traveling teams and was pretty good at it. And then when soccer season wasn't going on, a lot of skateboarding, a lot of riding bikes. As I look at it now, a lot of activities that heavily involve legs, which I think came back to help later on in life. But yeah, once I got to college, really got into weightlifting, really did that through my mid-30s, just packed on a lot of weight. I was up to like 220 pounds, and that's not my frame. I have a small frame. The amount of food that I had to eat, the protein I had to intake to sustain that just wasn't really feasible. Yeah, my wife actually got into running first before me. She did a half marathon and a full. And about that time, we had moved, gotten stationed in Crystal City, right outside of Washington, D.C. And the Marine Corps Marathon actually went right along that main street there in Crystal Drive. So I saw that shortly after we moved in, and we decided, okay, we'll go ahead and give that a shot next year. So that was really my first venture into any type of endurance training. Training went okay, but I certainly didn't hit the long runs. It wasn't as consistent as I wanted to be. I tell you, that was a long day. It took us 6 hours and 31 minutes to finish.
Wow.
Which is, you know, long enough. But I was an admiral's aide at the time in the Navy, and I had gotten assigned to a different admiral who had a trip to Kuwait and Iraq that actually left that night.
Oh, gosh.
So I finished this race. Traffic's nuts. I had no appreciation for how many tens of thousands of people run that marathon and what traffic's going to be like. So it was so hard to get back to our apartment being right there on the race course. I grab my stuff. We go to the airport. I didn't have time to take a shower. I get to the airport sweating bullets, think I'm going to miss this flight, and you know it's not going to be a good day. I ended up making the flight. It was a commercial flight into Kuwait, but I'm, you know, trying to pace up and down the best I can in that little airplane aisle just to try and keep the legs loose.
Oh, man.
We get to Kuwait and then get the military flight on into Iraq, and I was only there for like a week or so. It was a quick visit, but I remember as we were walking around touring different facilities, I could barely move. I swore off running. I was like, never, never again. And here we are today. My PR that I got last year is 305. So, you know, been able to more than cut that in half. So I'm glad I stuck with it. But really, after that marathon, I went back to weightlifting and all that. But there was a period of time when I left active duty and we had moved back home to Iowa, which is where we're from. And we'd adopted a puppy. The kids always wanted a dog. And since I was out in the military at the time, that was thought to be the good time to get it. And boy, did that dog need to run. And that's what got me into it. It just run, walk, Galloway intervals with the dog just to burn that energy. He was chewing up furniture in the house and everything else. He's older now. We don't really get to run much. We still do some walks, but he's really been the best training partner I've ever had in terms of running. But really, that led to a couple more half marathons, more 5Ks and 10Ks than I can think of. And really, the big run and kind of the last only run before I started venturing into multi-sport was the Shamrock Marathon in Virginia Beach, 2016. I don't think they do it anymore, but at the time they had what was called a King Neptune Challenge, where you'd run all the events. So it was an 8K on Saturday, a half marathon, and a full marathon on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't really put that together to be like, hey, this is actually an ultra. I love challenges, as we just mentioned here. But so the way it works is you had to do the half marathon, I think within like an hour and 45 minutes, because the half started first. And then basically you finish the marathon, the half, and you get right back in line as the mass starts off for the full. And so I did that. And I think I did the half in like 1:43, and the full took like 4:28 or something like that. So again, like adding those times up, that's basically what my first half or full marathon was there at the Marine Corps Marathon. But during that run, I decided, yeah, I'm ready for something different. and I wanted to do triathlon, and even though I'm in the Navy, swimming was not a strong suit. It was just sheer willpower to get through the swim test at the Navy. Gosh, there's so many stories here. So boot camp, they misspelled my name on the paperwork. And rather than being Brock, it was Brick.
Nice.
So they really enjoyed that. All right, Brick, let's see what you can do. And sure enough, basically floated and swam like a brick. And it ended up making it through. It really didn't have to swim again with the Navy. So anyway, I had kind of known about duathlon, and that's where I went next. So very, very short turnaround. So finished that King Neptune Challenge the very next week. I went to the local truck shop. They had a speed concept that they had. It was like last year's model. It was on sale. I was like, all right, I'll pick it up. I got to talking to the guy, and he's like, hey, so there's a duathlon next week, the Virginia Olympic Duathlon. You should give it a try. I was like, okay. So I signed up. So I had ridden that new bike twice. My first was the test ride there at the store. The whole getting into aero position was completely new to me, and you know, didn't have that stability. Yeah, just about fell over, but I took the bike home. I rode it once the next day, and the next thing I know, at the starting line of the Virginia Olympic Duathlon. Yeah, that was a hard bike ride, but it's a tough race overall, because just in transition, I'm looking around, seeing what people are doing, didn't know what to bring, really had no clue what I was doing. But that huge running base helped, because I had actually placed second in my age group at that race, and mainly from running the bike. I suffered on that bike, especially at the end. There's this hill, and I thought it was going to do me in, but just being on the podium and first multi-sport event, I was hooked. So from there, I looked around for every duathlon that I could find in Virginia, and I was racing it. Really no training plan at that point. My training plan was just relying on the fitness from the race I did the week prior. I was just trying to get as much experience as I could. And the very next year, ended up going to Cary, North Carolina, and finished fifth in my age group there, and qualified for USAT, Team USA, as an age grouper. I had orders to Italy already, so I knew that the chances of actually being able to go to Zofingen and compete at Worlds in duathlon, you know, could happen. And I was very fortunate to be over there and get the time away from the military to do that. So that was a pretty amazing experience. I guess as far as swimming, I kind of ventured into that probably around 2017 as well. It was not a good experience at first, not a good start. I didn't know anything about form. I didn't realize you actually have to exhale out with your face in the water. I was just no comfort level whatsoever. A very, very humbling experience, because I had all this success coming from running into duathlon. So, yeah, I'm going to hit the triathlon. It's going to go great. But No, it took quite a while to get there. At least in my mind, it was quite a while. I guess looking back, it was about 2 years from the time I had started swimming until I did a triathlon. I don't know if it was necessarily planned this way, but my first try was actually a half Ironman. Just being overseas and the travel, and that's just how it was. So it was St. Poulton in Austria. I don't know that it's any longer branded as an Ironman race, but what was attractive about that, it's a two-lake swim course. So in my mind, it's like, okay, I only have to swim in one lake. I can get out and run and then get in the other one and swim that one. So it's a good way to break it up. Crazy, crazy cold. I think it was like the water was like 59 degrees or something like that on race day. So cold. And actually, all my training had been in a pool. So I don't recommend this, but my longest open water training swim was the course preview the day before the race. Wow.
Did you get the panic breathing?
yeah. I had to resort to backstroke a few times. And I had no idea what was going on when I get in the water. It's that cold and hard to breathe and everything else. All new experiences. My wife did that race with me as well. So we had trained together for that one. But
that's cool.
Now, real quick, Brock, you just brought up your wife, Ray. I know an interesting story you told me, and I think the listeners would get a kick out of this. Your first date with her. You remember that story you told me?
Yeah.
Share that one if you don't mind, because this is pretty funny.
Yeah, so this was during college. It was a 52-mile bike ride. She really enjoyed cycling. I did too growing up on bikes, but it had been a while. She had a Trek Hybrid, and I had this just old, they're not old, but a big clunky mountain bike from Walmart. You know, I think probably weighed like 40 pounds or so. And she had this idea, hey, let's go for a bike ride. She lived in Cedar Falls. My mom lived in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And there's a trail that goes in between the two. Cedar Valley Nature Trail is what it's called. And before this, like we had met, had dinner, but this was like really our first day long date trip of any kind. And so off we go. Yeah, I just gym shorts, t-shirt, you know, no thought of a kit or anything else. Just this heavy bike. And, you know, she's just pedaling along on her Trek. And here I am just doing my best to not show how painful the ride was. And we made it. But the thing she didn't tell me till afterward, like I was suffering on the bike, but we were riding to my mom's house. And I didn't make the connection at the time. But here she is, you know, it's the middle of summer, hot, humid, and she's meeting my parents for the first time in this condition, you know, and we hardly even know each other. I mean, we got to know each other on the bike ride a little bit better, but obviously it all worked out. We've been married over 20 years now, but that was our first date, and really just fitness and doing just crazy events like this has really just been interwoven throughout our marriage. So,
yeah, I guess when we get to your crazier stories, does she get to join you on any of those?
A lot of the challenges, she's played a significant supporting role.
Yeah.
One, just allowing me to do it. And then a couple of them, like she would meet me out on whatever route or course I'm on. She delivered me pizza at the top of Mount Etna when I did an Everesting challenge there. I was out there for like 24 hours just doing repeats.
Oh, my God.
If you're not familiar with Everesting, it's you do repeats on one segment, like a Strava segment, until you accumulate the height of Mount Everest. And I think for mine, it was like 15 repeats up Mount Etna. And it was starting to get late in the day. I was hungry and she delivered food up there. So with the boys too. And it was really neat for me, a huge source of motivation to go out there and finish what I had started. So
that's awesome.
And if I'm not mistaken, your family, I mean, you've all been everywhere you've been, stationed, everybody's gone, correct?
Yeah. So we lived in Sicily for, gosh, it was about 2.5 years or so. Yeah, family was out there. Other than what my deployment to Iraq, I mean, they've been with me everywhere I've gone.
That's great. Now, Mount Etna, I think if I read correctly, that's an active volcano in Sicily, correct?
It is. You can see the lava spewing out at night.
Oh, wow.
Pretty consistently. Yeah. I called it my playground between cycling and running. There's just so much you can do out there. It's a lot of fun.
So reading your race resume that you shared with us, I think a lot of these untraditional events that you took that you took on and challenges occurred during COVID, correct? Like when you were in Sicily. I mean, you got super creative and just trying to get active. I don't want to steal all the thunder, but you just talked about doing the outside Everest of Mount Etna. But tell us a little bit about these other crazy events here. I mean, from a Goggins challenge to a virtual Everest to just indoor. Talk about those with us. This is fascinating to me, just like where these ideas came from.
So I'm goal-oriented. I've got to have something on the calendar. And it's not just the event itself, but it's all the preparation and everything coming up, going up to it. Like, I love to train, but I've got to have it focused. I've got a lot of different interests. If I don't narrow it down, then I just won't get anything done. But yet, COVID was a very challenging time, especially in Italy. Just the culture there, multi-generational families living in close quarters. And we were really still trying to learn, you know, what the virus was all about. So Italy had shut down. Like, you couldn't be outside. I had to have a permission slip in my car, basically, to drive to work that said I was, you know, authorized to be on the roads. Otherwise, you could only go if you're going to seek medical treatment or buy groceries or, you know, an essential thing. So there were no races. I had a couple Ironman, half Ironmans on the schedule that wasn't able to do with travel. So I had to put all this energy somewhere, and yeah, it came up with a variety of challenges. So yeah, some of the things I did a Zwift indoor ride just 24 hours to see how far I could go. I ended up doing 400 miles on Zwift.
How did you pace yourself on that? Like, what did you, how many breaks? I mean, you got to break that down for us.
Yeah. So the longest ride I had done before that was, I did 313 miles in Virginia before moving to Sicily and all that, and on the roads or on a
in a day.
Yeah, Virginia Capital Trail. It was okay. It was three repeats, so my body was somewhat accustomed to the longer distances. So I knew I had it in me, and really, I would just break it down to every few hours. I picked the Tempest Fugit route, which is pretty flat.
And a lot of circles on that one.
Yeah, a lot of circles. But it was a way for me to gauge, like, okay, am I keeping the pace or am I fading? And when things would start to slow down, you know, I would take a break. But really, just, I didn't set out with 400 in mind. I wanted to beat the 300 that I had before and kept going. And I was like, well, I think 400 would be the goal to shoot for. So I did that just in under 24 hours. It was fun. My sons stayed up with me, my youngest Bryce. They took a picture with me and Zwift in the background with the miles. So
that's awesome. What time did you start? You start like 6 a.m. and went around?
For a lot of my challenges, I would start at midnight. When I did my longer ride on the Virginia Capital Trail, I chose that time. And really, it was just to get the first century done as the sun is coming up, and then having daylight to get through the bulk of the challenge. And then, you know, as the sun's setting, kind of wrap things up. So for Everstein and Mount Etna, for the ride there, I started at midnight there as well.
It's
been a pretty good time for me to start.
That Zwift 400-mile ride, I've got to ask, just because it intrigues me. How many ride-ons did you get?
Gosh, I would have to look that up.
I thought you'd know.
It was a lot. I do not know. That's a great question.
Yeah. And the other question is, what was your caloric intake for those 24 hours?
You know, at the time, I was with Hammer. I was mixing a heck of a lot of Perpetuum and sustained energy. I just had like a torn open box of Hammer bars that I would munch on. And then sometimes for the longer break, you know, I'd go into the kitchen and make something. But
nice.
Yeah, it was a long day of eating.
How long after that did it take to get back on the bike?
I would venture to say that I was probably off the bike maybe 3 days.
Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah.
So last week we talked about bike fits and saddles. You must really love your bike fit and saddle, or you're just able to put up with it.
I did have a bike fit prior to moving overseas. So yeah, at the time it was dialed in. I will admit I'm past due for a bike fit here. I have found a good bike fitter in St. Augustine that I'm going to meet up with here shortly. But yeah, the bike was dialed in. The fit was good.
Good.
So, my headlamp, because in spring I end up starting just before the sun gets up to get my long runs rides in. But my bike lamp lasts an hour. How in the world did you start at midnight with light? What was your setup for illuminating your ride?
Yeah, I had a pretty high power bike light with a battery pack that attaches to the frame of the bike.
And military grade, Jay. Military.
Yeah, right. night vision goggles or something.
I mean, it actually had like high beams and low beam settings, so the low beam would last longer. So I would have that on the bike, and it would always be directed forward. And then I would wear a headlamp too, such that when I look to the left and right, what I would see would also be illuminated. Okay. That was a big part of it too. So like for Everstein, that light was descent. Ending the near of its power when the sun came up. And I had a friend come out, grab that power pack and throw it on the charger during the day.
Okay.
And then he brought that back out because that there challenge did take longer and I finished in the dark again. So
did you hit your max speed ever on any of the descents doing the Everstein?
Close. I would definitely hit the high 40s a few times, but it gets a little bit scary. The road, while it's pretty well paved, it's not perfect, and there are some potholes that you have to watch out for. So I did not have disc brakes, so really my hands hurt trying to brake and keep the speeds somewhat controllable.
Yeah.
You're one of the few people I know that not only did you Everest outside, you also did it virtually.
That was my training for the outside real world. I did
you Everested the Everest
inside. Yeah, I Everested on Zwift just to give it an idea to see, hey, is this something that could be done? Much easier bike trainer. And really, I did not have an appreciation for the descent when you're out there on the roads for real. Just the toll that takes on your body, the time to get down, the focus, especially at night, when you're going pretty fast.
That's what I was thinking, the fatigue, as the fatigue sets in, right? You have to be very aware of everything.
Yeah. I was very fortunate. I mean, kind of looking back, it's dangerous, especially, at night, some of those higher speeds, but I just try and control all the variables that I can with the lights. I rode the route several times at the same time of day that I would be Everstein to get familiar with what everything was like and just try and control every variable I can. But, things pop up that you can't. And that's what's part of the fun, too, is just throwing yourself in a situation big enough where you don't necessarily have control over everything. And, things are going to happen. And how are you going to react to that? And, that's really when you learn more about yourself and get way outside your comfort zone and realize, what is it that you're really capable of?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So I think already everything you've talked about takes your training and just your competing to the next level. But let's just put the bike aside here for a second. Okay. Let's mount the bike and let's take a step to the next discipline. Let's transition to running now. Your run challenges too are also just ridiculous. You've done the Goggins 4x4x48, but you took that to a challenge within the challenge. I want to talk about that. I think you must have pulled a Forrest Gump and gotten bored in Florida during COVID, because you, if I'm not mistaken, you just went for a solo 100 mile unsupported, self-supported, hey, just for fun, century run.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Okay.
It wasn't quite like on a whim. I had wanted to run an ultra, but while Florida was very much still open and not as restricted as other states, the military had several COVID restrictions that prevented me from entering races and being around people. But I had a base level of fitness because I'd been training for it, hoping that restrictions would lift, but they hadn't. And well, I got to make this work. There's nothing that says that you can't run by yourself outside. So that's what I did. I broke it up into basically 4 25-mile loops in different directions. And home just served as a base camp. I stop at home real quick. And again, this is where the family comes in. I had two running vests. So I would drop one off at the door and my wife and kids would replenish it. They knew, I taught them how to mix my Hammer Nutrition that I needed, what the ratio was, and put the gels back in, you know, fill the hydration back up with and whatnot. And off I would go on another one. Now, I wasn't successful the first time. I made it to 87 miles and I was shot. I mean, this is all on concrete. And I had some stomach issues earlier in the day where I had tried to eat some, I guess, regular food or normal food, and that didn't sit well. I didn't give enough time to digest before I went back out, but that had caught up back with me later. But again, my family being so supportive. I remember holding my son's hand and my wife's hand as I'm walking a loop around the near our house, and it just had in my head, you know, 87, I've come so far, I can do this. But the thought of doing a half marathon when I can hardly walk, it just wasn't going to happen. So I learned from that, did some more training, and then, yes, eventually went out and was able to knock out the 100 miles there in Jacksonville.
Wow.
That's incredible. Now, that's awesome. I'm not familiar with the Goggins 4x4x48. What is that exactly?
So he's got this challenge where you run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours.
Oh, okay.
Real quick, Brock, tell them who David Goggins is, just in case. Some of our listeners may not be familiar with who he is exactly.
Yeah, so he's a Navy SEAL, and he's written a couple books. I highly recommend that everyone read his first one. It talks about his upbringing and some of the challenges and things that he has done, which is just significant. It's huge, what he has put his body through and the things that he has overcome. He was overweight, you know, overcame that and had just done some incredible things, and very inspirational. He's all about just doing hard things like every day, and very, very mentally tough. And so he's got this challenge called the 4x4x48. And while it may sound doable or easy on the surface, it's only 4 miles. You only do it every 4 hours, but it's over 48 hours. So sleep deprivation, you know, can become a real challenge with that. But as I like to do, I did mix it up a little bit, and I wanted to get, or I wanted to at least get 50 miles. I mean, 48, you know, just so close. So I was like, well, if I do one more lap, I can get to 52. And I wanted to set a pace goal. And so I ended up doing a negative split. My first 4 miles were at an 8:55 average pace, and then slowly worked it down 5 seconds per lap or per mile. So my last lap ended up being like 7:55 pace for that last 4 miles. So again, that was during COVID. Yeah. In fact, we were still living in our temporary apartment here in Jacksonville after we got back from Sicily before we could move into our house. And again, it was like, okay, you can be outside, but not a lot of events going on. So again, I just had to do something, and this was it.
So with all of these challenges you've done, and let's just recap all these, 100-mile unsupported, just solo run through Jacksonville, Florida, the Goggins 4x4x48. I mean, you've ran 2 half Everests on Mount Etna. We didn't even talk about those. Not biking, you ran. One of them, you covered the 15,000 feet over 22 miles. The other, you covered 50 miles to cover the 15,000 feet. You've ridden your bike counterclockwise around Sicily just for fun on your 40th birthday. It took you 4 days, 633 miles, covered 31,000 feet for all practical reasons. You Everested Mount Etna. You virtually Everested on Zwift. You rode 400 miles on the Zwift trainer. And then you rode 313 miles on Friday the 13th in 24 hours. Out of all of these things, that these are challenges you came up with just kind of on your own to say, hey, let's do this. Okay. Which of these did Ray, your wife, just look at you and been like, Brock, you're crazy? Or has she just been supportive for all of them? Has she ever said, let me check your temperature? Like, are you nuts? Like, where's the life insurance policy? Like, anything like that?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great question. I am very lucky. I know I don't even fully realize and appreciate everything that she has done to allow me to go out and do this stuff. I think if there was a moment of craziness, it may have been towards the beginning of this journey I've been on, which would have been the 313 miles on the Virginia Capitol Trail, really just because that was the first.
Yeah.
I mean, I went out and did the 100, and okay, we were in the sport, so we know a century ride, you know, it's a challenge. It's a great challenge. It's a big number, but I wanted more, and I became hungry for 200. And I think probably about that point, she's like, man, where's he going to take this? But she's never said no. And we talked through it. And I think the fact that by trade, I'm a logistician, I'm a planner, that's what I do. So I don't go into this stuff just haphazardly. I really try and control everything that I can. And we talk through it and make it work. And she's been very supportive of all these. The one that she would have helped out the most with and been a big part of was the ride around Sicily for my 40th, just because that was 4 days.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you could give someone for their birthday present, material item, but I mean, she truly gave me the gift of time to allow me to do this. So she drove around the island with the boys. I mean, not next to me. We would see each other in the morning and they'd go about their way. They'd explore the island, the cities that I'd be cycling through. Maybe we'd meet up for lunch and then I'd see her at the hotel we were staying at for that night. But while I was out having fun on a bike, she's in the car driving on some pretty crazy Sicilian roads with my two boys, our dog. And this is when we were training for Ironman St. Poulton. She had miles to get into. So in our car, she had her bike and her bike trainer. And she would get to the hotel ahead of me. She would set up her bike and she would spin on Zwift at the hotel to get her training in while I'm out doing mine. And then we would meet up and do dinner. But just to dedicate that long 4-day weekend to give me the gift of being able to do this is just, I really can't thank her enough. And of all the experiences I've had in Italy or just in endurance sports in general, being able to say I've ridden around Sicily is at the top of the list.
Yeah, she's a gem, man. I know when we met up in Iowa, just from the first time I met her, and she was just like, oh, okay, hey, Matt. And so she was out there and was hands-on anything I needed that weekend. And it's like, I just met this woman. It's like she was extending that same just, you know, I hate to call the word love, but it was just like care and just generosity for the sport of, hey, I want to see you guys succeed and thrive. And, you know, that was just an awesome weekend getting to meet you, Ray, and the boys.
It sounds like we need to get Ray on the pod.
Yeah.
We did talk about that, having spouses on one time.
Yeah, that would be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
I'm curious, Brock. So the bike we've covered, right? And the run. Have you taken any of these extremities to the swim yet? Or do you have plans for that?
I have not. I've had some thoughts about doing some bigger swim events. But yeah, so I'm going to blame you for whatever I jump in as a challenge. But no, really, it's still my weakest discipline. But I've made a lot of improvement and a lot, really, just thinking back to day one. I remember when I went to the YMCA in Williamsburg, and I had a friend who went with me or invited me to come with. And, you know, I swam, tried to do 25 yards, and I just looked at him like, all right, so what should I work on? And he didn't have any words for me. He's like, I don't even know where to begin or what to do, man. He's like, you just do it like this, you know, and then he swam his lap, and I just had such a long way to go, but it's been an incredible journey to the point where I'm qualified to swim instructor with TriDot and TriDot Pool School. I know what right looks like, and I've been successful in helping others get there and cut quite a bit off their 100-yard swim assessments that we do at the end of pool school. That's been very rewarding, going from someone who had really no idea how to swim to being able to help others and seeing the looks on their faces when they improve. So while I still have some work to do on my own, because, you know, it's a challenging sport where you don't necessarily get that instant feedback on form and whatnot.
Yeah.
I would like to venture into some bigger things. I'm just not sure what that would be yet in the swim.
I know we got to talk about you a lot as an athlete now, but I want to transition a little to you as a coach and as a professional. That's kind of the next step on a different layer that you and I've gotten to know each other fairly well. I'm super excited about the relationship we've developed and just kind of the path that and the journey that you've gone down giving back to the sport. As you mentioned already, you're Ironman University certified as a coach. You're also an NASM certified personal trainer, which is super exciting because that really complements that as well. And you already mentioned the Tri-Dot Pool School instructor, but talk a little bit about that and where you're at now and what that looks like for you.
Yeah, so I ventured into coaching when I decided to give a full Ironman a shot. Really, I just wanted to learn more about how you build a training plan, what that structure looks like, you know, how do you balance the three disciplines? Well, really more than that, when you consider, you know, the rest and recovery that come along with that. And so I went through Ironman U and obtained that certification there. And yeah, initially it was just going to be, hey, this is just personal enrichment. Just looking back, you know, I hadn't had a coach before that and I had learned a lot of things the hard way. I probably didn't get the race times that I wanted as quickly as I would have if I had a coach and just someone to talk to and to have that advice. I didn't know anything about Endurolites during running. You know, I would take a gel, but, you know, I'd get cramps and I always hit that wall in the marathon. And had I had someone to help with that, I think I definitely could have succeeded a little more quicker in the marathon and other disciplines. So really, it's just I'm at a point where I want to give back to the sport. It's been one heck of a journey, and I would like others to experience that and, you know, truly reach their full potential and hopefully sooner time than they would on their own.
That's awesome. So
I wanted to take a minute and thank you for your service. You've been in the service for over 20 years, correct? Because you enlisted shortly after 9/11.
Yeah, just over 20 years. Excuse me. I joined, after 9/11. I was working on my MBA when 9/11 happened. My undergrad's in aviation. And as we all know, the aviation industry took a pretty hard hit during that time. And the jobs just weren't there. So I joined the Navy Reserve, enlisted as an intelligence specialist, just really to see what it was all about. And only did that for a couple months before someone said, hey, you know, you've got a master's degree in business. You can apply this to so much more. So I ended up applying to be an officer in the Supply Corps, the logistics side of the Navy, and I gotten accepted for officer candidate school before it even went to boot camp, but still had to go through the enlisted boot camp to fulfill that obligation in case I changed my mind or if I wasn't able to pass. But yeah, I made it through boot camp and then OCS and was active duty for about 12 years and then just need a little time away. Took a year and a half off and still did the reserves and then came back full time. So I've got about 18 years of active service, but over 20 with the reserve time.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for all that. We're a big Navy family ourselves. My wife's family, her grandfather was at the Naval Academy, was a dean and a math teacher there. And certainly the Navy blood runs deep in our family. So thank
you. Well, thank you and your family for everything that you all have done as well.
Yeah. So what's next, Brock?
What is next?
Maybe you know extreme swim, but do you have an extreme try or some other crazy thing?
Well, I've qualified for Boston so for the first time. So that's really the biggest event coming up here. I do have, I don't know if you call it a challenge per se, but I am riding around Lake Okeechobee here in Florida next weekend. That's about 112 miles. And I ventured into bike packing.
Nice.
I have a gravel bike, so I'll be going out there with my tent, camping, packing up, riding around the lake as a weekend getaway. This summer, we're doing Reg Bry, my wife and I, the Register's annual Great Bike Ride Across Iowa. It's the 50th anniversary.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like I said, we're both from Iowa. We've been familiar with the race or the ride, but we've never done it. So we figured if there's a time to do it, it's the 50th anniversary. So we're really looking forward to that.
It's a cool
event this summer.
Yeah.
Would you ever try to do anything like Western States or, you know, some of the other, I guess, ultra trail style races?
I would like to. I have an interest in it. It's just, you know, where do I put my time?
Yeah.
So many interests, because I do enjoy racing and triathlon too. And I've been able to chip away at my half Ironman time and be somewhat competitive as an age grouper. I would like to give Ironman a couple more goes. I think I can better my time from Des Moines. I'll be doing California this fall. But
oh, cool.
Between that and then, you know, still active duty Navy and wanting to be there to support my kids and my wife the best I can with all their ventures as well. I don't know. It might have to be a retirement type event. But
right.
Yeah, I do have interest in some longer trail races.
Real quick, you just brought up your children. I know you're super proud of this. I know. I mean, if you guys aren't following Brock on social media, by the way, you need to look him up, because his posts about his family and the training and how he gets it all in are amazing. Real quick, talk about your son and the journey you guys just took on together.
Yeah. So my youngest, Bryce, we were out doing a bike ride couple weeks ago.
How old is Bryce, real quick?
Bryce is 11.
Okay.
And just a leisurely family bike ride. And he just kind of looks over at me. He's like, "Dad, when's your next Ironman?" And, you know, I told him, you know, what I have planned on the schedule this year. He's like, "No, when's the one in at the racetrack?" And what he was getting at was a Clash event, Clash Daytona. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told him what it was. And he goes, "Do you think I could do a triathlon?" And I was so excited, but trying to hold it back a little bit, because one thing I've tried to do is to not push my kids in any direction. As long as they're healthy, as long as they're active, it doesn't matter to me. But the fact that he approached me and asked, it was just awesome. So I'm like, "Yes, you can do a triathlon." And we looked it up at the distances. There's a kid's triathlon he can do. And yeah, we started swimming 2 weeks ago. When I say started, he's had swim lessons before. And I'll tell you what, it'd been like a year since swim lessons. He gets in the pool and it's just like, if you learn how to swim as a kid, it's like you have it. It's just like riding a bike. And I'm like so jealous of him already.
Jealous.
And, yes. You know, I'm like, "Hey, can you give me a few pointers?" So. But no, he's doing great. You know, we still need to venture into open water at some point when it gets a little bit warmer here and do that safely. But it's going to be a great journey. And he sees it as just doing triathlon. But, you know, I see it as just a way to spend time with him and to teach him how to set a goal, how to be consistent in training, how to have that discipline, how to have that accountability, and all the other things that go with it. And that's really, you know, just what I want to teach him as he grows up. And I'm with Team Zoot as well. And he made the comment to me. He's like, "Hey, if I train really hard and stick with it, you know, can I get a race suit like you?" And I'm like,
we will
make that happen. So that's sure. His motivation is to have a tri kit come race day. So
remember, Hammer used to have youth kits as well. I bet they could hook you up with one step.
Yeah.
I probably, you know.
Yeah, I'll have to ask. That would be great.
Well, I know, Brock, we gotta tie this thing up, but man, it's every once in a while you meet somebody in your life, man, that you know is just a good human being. And, you know, Brock, you're one of those guys. I mean, I think from the get-go, I knew you were a fascinating person, but the more I got to know you, you are a good, good person. I mean, mm-hmm. Family guy, family oriented. You're in the U.S. Armed Services. Can't thank you enough for that just component of your life. But you have developed a lifestyle that you're demonstrating with your wife, for your kids, and just out there living it up and having fun doing it. And you continue to evolve, make yourself a better person, and you're giving back to the sport now, stepping into the coaching. Huge kudos to you. Keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome. Everything you're doing to get out there with the kids and just kind of keep being you, man. It's good stuff. So super proud of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you, Matt. I really appreciate all that. And yeah, I think this is like podcast number 18. So congrats to you guys. And we get higher up in the numbers. Yeah, well, I'll invite my wife back when it's time to have more discussion.
Awesome.
So we'll have a party.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you all.
It sounds like if anyone has any interest in doing some crazy activities, Brock's the guy to reach out to for some coaching, some tips. Yeah.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, on the coaching side and different disciplines that coaches have. And I definitely identify as the challenger and the investor. So yes, look me up and I will be more than happy to challenge you and make you push beyond what you think your limits are.
Yeah, we'll definitely make sure in the podcast notes, we'll get your contact info and social media handle so the listeners can follow you, your journeys, and see all the great content you put out on your socials. I mean, you're super active. I love seeing the RV out there and you up at the break of dawn out there on the trainer. It's just fascinating. So cool. All righty. I guess we're going to tie this thing on up. Jay, do you want to do the duties of closing it out today as well?
Sure. Sure. My pleasure. Well, Brock, one thing is I'm definitely going to probably one day reach out to you about the JFK 50 miler because that's definitely on my list of something I want to do.
Jay, I might do that with you.
Yeah, maybe that'll be a good one. Yep.
That could be a fun one.
Yep.
Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll go back and do it with you guys.
Is it on pavement or is it trails?
Trail and the canal trail, right?
Yeah, it's like the perfect first 50 miler. The first half is trail and the second is nice and flat. And it's a great course.
Appalachian Trail down through Harper's Ferry, I think, area. Yep.
Maybe we'd have to do a team race there. That could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good challenge coming
out
here. Oh
boy, we got something coming out.
Not this year. I couldn't do it this year.
2024.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for tuning in to the Triathlon Age Group Journey podcast. 18 weeks strong making this happen. So it's been a lot of fun. If you want to reach out to us, email us at triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com or Instagram is triathlonagegroupjourney. Really love the listeners. Hit us up on your podcast platform with a review. That'd be really awesome. Maybe 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Google, wherever you listen to us. We'd love to see those reviews. They definitely help us out. So with that being said, have a great week, everybody. You guys, Matt, travel safely home and enjoy the rest of your time together. And Brock, thanks again so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Brock. Make good choices, everyone.
Yep. Thanks, guys.